Be turning to Micah chapter 7. Again, I preached from actually these two verses several weeks ago. It's hard to believe this makes the fifth Sunday I've been preaching. I started out, I didn't preach it in this order, but we talked about total depravity, Isaiah chapter 1. We are spiritually rotten. From the sole of our feet to the top of our head. Yeah. And there is no soundness in us.
Amen.
Paul said, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Even after God saves us, in our flesh dwelleth no good thing. My flesh is still just as totally depraved as it ever was.
Yeah.
And I realize it more now than I ever did. Because when I was lost, I didn't know how bad I was. But we also looked at unconditional election. God Almighty chose exactly and individually who He would save. And the truth is, there are some, and the majority, as far as I could see from the Word of God, the majority of He rejected.
Exactly.
He didn't just not choose them. They are not the non-elect. I've said that myself. I'm not being hypercritical, but they're not the non-elect. They are the reprobate.
Yes.
And men often have this out. Reprobate means, you know, the worst of the worst. That's not what the word reprobate means. Reprobate means rejected. That's what it means. God chose some people. God rejected others. Jacob I loved. Esau. Doesn't really matter. It says Esau I hated. You know what it says? We looked at limited atonement. And it is limited.
Yes, sir.
Everybody limits the atonement.
Yeah,
exactly. One way or another.
Exactly.
That's just a fact. Either you limit its scope and its design, or you limit its power and its efficacy. Yes. One or the other.
That's right. Yes, sir.
And I would say take your pick, but I don't believe in picking and choosing. But you can take your pick. It's one of us. You know, the atonement is limited in one way or another. Christ said, I lay down my life for the sheep.
Amen.
And specifically, to the same group of people, he did move around here when we looked at that. He did move around some, but on that same day, he looked at some people after saying, I lay down my life for the sheep.
Yep.
He looked at some people and said, you are not of my sheep. What's he saying?
Yeah.
I didn't die for you.
That's it.
I'm not going. Actually, he said, I'm not going to lay down my life for you.
That's it.
And the fact is, he did not lay down his life for anyone other than the sheep.
Amen.
We looked at irresistible grace. I called it irresistible life. The reason is this. Grace is not irresistible because it overcomes our depravity.
Right.
That's not it. Grace is not irresistible because the gospel comes in power and converts, though it does. Grace is irresistible because God Himself personally gives life to individuals, spiritual life. And then only, will the gospel come in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. That's how bad we are, that even the gospel in power doesn't do anything for us when we're natural, in our natural state.
Yeah.
We must be created as a spiritual being before we will ever receive the spiritual message.
Yeah.
But life is for the receiving of the spiritual message. Life is not there just for life in itself.
Yeah.
It's to receive Christ in Him and His person and work as is revealed in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
Us, this small group, have been accused at times of not believing the gospel is important. It's just not so.
Yeah.
Let me make that clear. It's just not so. But I believe this, that we are so totally depraved that it takes a sovereign act of God in fiat power where He says, live, and then only do we live.
Amen.
And that is irresistible.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
It's not something He overcomes in us.
No.
He simply breathes spiritual life And bless God, you're alive.
Yes, sir.
But you're alive for a reason.
Yep.
Our Lord said, I am come for the sheep. He said, I am come that they may have life and that they might have it more abundantly.
See,
so there is two aspects to life.
Yeah.
Is there not?
Yes,
there is
sir.
The initial impartation of it.
Yep.
And then there is the experiencing or the living of that life.
Yes,
and
sir.
We do that through the gospel.
Yeah.
It's like a living man feeds on bread. A living person, spiritually alive person, feeds on the gospel. They can't help but feed on the
gospel.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, Micah chapter 7, just two verses start out. These are familiar, no doubt, because I just, like I said, I preached, I think it was the Micah difference, something like that, here several weeks ago. But Micah chapter 7 and verse 8, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy.
Yeah.
When I fall,
yeah.
I shall arise.
Amen.
When I sit in darkness, notice the word, when I sit in darkness,
yes, sir.
The Lord shall be a light unto me.
Amen.
I'm ready to jump ahead even right there.
Yes, sir.
I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I sinned against Him. You see that?
Yeah.
Until. And thank God for that until.
Yes, sir.
Until He plead my cause. Isn't that a glory?
Yes, sir.
Until He plead my cause. And execute. I like that word.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very general Hebrew word, but I like the way they translated that.
Yeah.
It's good. It's a good. There are several different words that are translated execute in the Hebrew. And this is really just a general one, but you see in some contexts that it really takes on a deep, profound meaning.
Mm-hmm.
Until He plead my cause and execute judgment for me. And
amen.
Thank God that's a for and not against.
Exactly.
Yeah. Till He execute judgment for me. He will bring me forth to the light.
Amen.
And I shall behold His righteousness. What I want to talk about this morning, of course, is what? We say the perseverance of the saints, and rightfully so, because perseverance is true.
Yes, sir.
As God willing, we will sing later, the righteous shall hold on his way.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this song. That's from Scripture.
Yes, sir.
That's not a made-up phrase, David. That's from Scripture. I think Job said it, wasn't it? Was it Job that said it? Maybe not, but it said, the righteous shall hold on his way. When I fall, I shall arise. It's about, yes, perseverance is true, but there will be no perseverance where there's not preservation.
That's right,
sir. We're not saved and continually saved because we persevere.
No, that's right.
We are saved and continually are saved and persevere because we are preserved.
Amen.
I believe in preservation.
Yes, sir.
As the foundation of the pea
that's
into
it.
Why do I believe that? Because this book teaches that.
Yes, sir.
Now, there is no debate. I am not here to debate this morning. It's not about debate. By God's grace, I refuse to sit and argue this with some people.
No argument.
When I fall, Micah says, I shall arise. And we see why.
Yeah.
Not because of Micah.
Exactly.
Not because Micah knows himself or thinks himself to be something. On the contrary, we see Micah testifying to what he really is, don't we?
Yeah.
Micah is confident in the Lord.
Amen.
He believes and knows, has been assured by God, that God has a covenant with His Son, the Father has a covenant with the Son and the Spirit, and they shall carry out their agreement.
Amen.
And that's just the way it is.
Yes,
there is no debate. Those God saves can never be lost again. I'm not here to debate that. I used to debate that, Mason. I used to preach against being lost after you're saved. I'm not doing that this morning. I'm not saying I never will do that again, but I'm just saying this morning, I'm not here to debate this morning.
No.
Now, if you know that the Scripture teaches total depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement, and irresistible grace, and you don't believe that there will be the perseverance of the saints, you're just plumb bonkers.
Yeah.
And I thought nothing could exist like that, but Mason run up on one. Didn't you, Mason? He doesn't believe in the perseverance of the saints, but he believes in the other. That's the weirdest four-pointer I ever heard of. Usually they leave out the L, the limited atonement. I mean, it never, our depravity never ceases to amaze even me. And I've been trying to do this for almost 30 years now. There is no debate. My desire today is to examine the reality of those God has saved and their falling afterward.
Yeah.
Their falling afterward. Now, I know the word fall sometimes is used in different ways in the Scripture. Mm-hmm. Because when I say a believer can't fall, because there are some passages that say he is able to keep you from falling. Mm-hmm. And he does.
Yes, sir.
But that's a different kind of falling.
Exactly.
I'm talking about, can a person whom God has saved, he's converted, they've heard the gospel, it's come in its power and its glory, and they've bowed down to the person and work of Jesus Christ, and they believe God. That's when I'm talking about a person who's saved. Not a person who's made a profession.
You're right.
Even toward the truth. Yeah. Just a profession, and that's all they have. I'm afraid there's a lot of people out there like that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a person God has saved. If God saved you, you're saved forever.
Yes.
No debate here. No debate here. People have asked me, you know, and it's because I know the way other people use the phrase, but people, and we shy away from some of these things because we know the way some people distort them and twist them. Well, you believe in once saved, always saved. Of course I do.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not because I'm smart. It's because this book teaches when God Almighty saves someone, they're saved forever.
Amen.
Because if God can't keep it up, who has any hope of it being kept up?
Exactly.
The problem is we're preaching a totally different gospel
or
message than they are.
Yeah, exactly.
They believe man can lose his salvation because they believe actually man is the one that accomplishes his salvation. We reject that wholeheartedly.
Yes, sir.
We do believe in and to him that worketh not.
Yeah.
When it comes to my justification,
yes, sir,
I don't work for it.
Exactly.
When it comes to my reconciliation, I don't work for it. Now, do I work for the Lord?
Uh-huh.
Pray God I do.
Yeah.
You know? But we don't work for any of the grace of God, Joe. We don't. We're born of grace, and that's just the way it is.
That's
the way it happens. You don't contribute anything to it. You're just a participant of it.
Yeah.
That's just the way it is. Now, according to Micah, that is least in this text, we'll look at something that's not different, but a different side of it here in a moment, Lord willing. But those God has saved do fall. We see them. Now, not fall away. I wrote the first draft of these notes. And the other night, I got home and I marked out half of it. I said, oh man, I got to start all over again. Because I was going to probably preach half of it on apostasy. That ain't the point here.
Yeah.
I'm talking about those God has saved. They will fall afterward.
Yeah.
Because Micah said, when I fall.
Yeah.
Not if I fall.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Right. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. And as I said before when I preached on this, this is not a supplication to the enemy. Right. This is a warning to the enemy.
That's right.
You go ahead and mock me when I fall. You go ahead.
Yeah.
But as you read on, then she that is, verse 10, my enemy shall see it and shame.
Yeah.
One of these days, everybody who's rejected the truth of God will be ashamed of themselves.
Yeah.
But it will be too late.
Exactly.
It will be then too late. Those God has saved do sin. Let me put it that way.
Yes, sir.
So there is no doubt about what I'm saying.
Yes, sir.
Believers are not sinless people in their actions. They are sinless people in Christ. In Christ. Those God has saved do fall. When I fall. Tim James, I heard him preaching a message, and it wasn't even on this passage, but he turned to it. And I knew it was there, but it just struck me like a ton of bricks. He said he did not say if, he said when. Because if you're a believer, you will sin.
Yes, sir.
You will fall.
Yeah.
You will come short.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But let me tell you, even in my flesh, it's still true every day of my flesh. Yeah. Every day my flesh sins and comes short of the glory of God. Now under this, those God has saved do fall. The saved do fall. Look at Proverbs chapter 24. And most people read these things, they kind of see a little bit of it, but they don't see the profoundness of it. Proverbs 24, and just the first part of it. That's what I want to deal with this morning. For a just man falleth. Now, that, in most people's minds, that's a contradiction.
Exactly, yeah.
If you fall, how could you be just? Exactly. They don't get what it is to be a just man, do they?
Not
or a just woman.
Not a bit.
Because justification is positional.
Yes.
All positional.
Yes, sir.
It's all positional.
Yeah.
Look at it. For a just man falleth seven times. Now, I don't think that's a cutoff point. There are those who believe in that. The free will Baptist, you can sin so much, you're finally gone. So God's got pretty good power until you go too far.
Yeah, a little bit.
But look, for a just man falleth seven times. That's a fact.
Yes, sir.
That's a fact. For a just man falleth seven times. What? What? And riseth up. Again, there's the difference between a just man who falls and an unjust man who falls. One falls, but he stays. Where did he fall? He fell in Adam. So every step he takes is a fall.
Yes, sir.
He walks in the fall. He walks only by the fall. A just man has been lifted up. Joe, you said it. Two sit them among princes and kings.
Yes, sir.
I never even seen that till you just said that this morning. I always quoted that and.
Me too.
I mean, what was? But anyway, I'm not going to go on and preach on that. For a just man falleth seven times, and what? Riseth up again. Now, we're not talking yet about why, but the fact is this. He shall.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, I don't care if you just fall one time, if you don't rise back up again, guess what?
Yeah,
you're not a just person.
Exactly.
You see that? Psalms chapter 37. Look at that. There's another one. Psalms chapter 37. A couple verses here. I hope this is the right one. Yeah. You know this one. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And he delighteth in his way.
Yes.
Though he fall.
Yeah.
That seems to be a contradiction. And it is. By most people's gospel, put that in quotes.
Yeah, you're right.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
The steps of a good man. Not only, now the good's not in there, but that's the point is, there is a difference between some folks and others. But it's not personal goodness.
Exactly.
It's not personal goodness.
Yeah.
But look, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way, though he fall.
Yeah.
What? He shall not be. Now I believe God, not religion. He shall not be utterly cast down.
Amen.
You see the difference?
Yeah.
Now he's going to fall.
Oh, yeah.
But he won't be what? Utterly cast down. He won't lose his salvation.
Amen. That's it.
He cannot or she cannot get themselves outside of Christ.
Exactly.
Why? For the Lord upholdeth him even when he falls. Not after he falls.
Yeah.
It's not God takes his hand off you and you fall. You fall while you're in the hand of God.
Yeah.
Right? For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I used to hear all the time.
Amen.
Boy, so-and-so is out of the will of God. I know better now. No, he's not.
Exactly.
He or she may be disobeying the scripture. They may be disobeying the commands of God.
Yes, sir.
But no one is outside of the will of God.
Exactly.
And I'm not of that group that believes there are two wills of God.
Yeah.
There is one will of God. His sovereign will. And then there is his commandments of scripture.
Oh, yeah.
Men may or may not obey them.
Oh, yeah.
But you cannot disobey God's sovereign will.
No.
It don't happen. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. The saved do fall.
Yes, sir.
You see that? Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy, when I fall.
Yeah.
I shall arise. examples in the scripture. This is just a few. Abraham.
Yeah.
Lied about Sarah.
Yeah.
God had protected him for all these years.
Yes, sir.
Jack, why would he lie at this occasion? Why? Because we're all dust and ashes. We all have the flesh, and it is not just prone to failure. It is nothing but failure. And if we walk in it, that's when we do fall.
Yes, sir.
We fall. Well, but he learned his lesson, right? Well, yeah, God teaches us lessons. What does he teach us? Sometimes we'll do the same blessed thing right over again. And he lied about it again. And God protected him and Sarah both times.
Amen.
Right in the middle of it.
Yes, sir.
Now, isn't that the truth?
Yes, sir.
Now, was there some trouble? Sarah was up there at the palace when he was down here wherever.
Yeah.
That's not very good for a husband to know that's going on.
Exactly.
Huh?
Yeah.
And do you think Sarah enjoyed that?
Yeah.
Troubles will come because of sin.
Yes, sir.
But let me tell you something. Though the righteous fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. What about Aaron? Aaron, the high priest of the Lord.
Yeah.
Joe, the first one.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Usually the first one are the ones that set the standard.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And what did Aaron do? Made a golden calf.
That's exactly right.
And then kind of lied about it and said, well, it just jumped out. I put all the gold together and there came forth this calf.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
But that's you and me. Even as believers.
Yeah.
When we fall.
Yes, sir.
But did God reject Aaron?
No.
No. Something did happen. Moses came down seeing what was going on.
Oh, yeah.
He said, who stands on the Lord's side?
That's right.
And you know what Aaron did? He skedaddled over toward Moses.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. Didn't he? Didn't he? In spite of and in light of his fall and his sin. Did he not? Aaron. What about David? David. The man was guilty of having another man killed in battle just to try to cover his tracks. Didn't he? Just to try to cover his own tracks. This man had done him no harm.
That's right.
But he lusted in his heart to the degree that I've got to cover up my tracks. And one thing the believer learns, you cannot cover up your tracks.
Yeah, right.
You can't.
Yeah.
God is the ultimate tracker.
Yes, sir.
Because he knows our sins, our faults, even before we commit them.
Yes, sir.
As a matter of fact, he's the one that suffers them to take place.
That's it.
He suffers them to take place.
Right.
How do I know that? Because God kept some people from sinning in certain cases.
Yes, sir.
And if he can do that in one, he can do that in any. And if he doesn't do it in all, then it means he didn't purpose to do it in all.
Exactly.
There is no other option.
Yeah, that's right.
There is no other option.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to explain away or make... I'm not here to excuse God. God is holy, righteous.
Mm-hmm.
And everything God does is right.
Yeah, that's right.
And he protects his own holiness. I don't have to do it for him.
Exactly.
Amen.
David, though, with Bathsheba.
Mm-hmm.
Is that enough? Is that enough? Did God reject David?
No, sir.
No. Matter of fact, was it Nathan, wasn't it, come along to him? And I remember, well, was it Scott or Henry or somebody said he pointed that old bony finger in David's face. I don't know whether he had a bony finger or not. But, but you know, and said, you're the man. But God hath forgiven you. Before you even realize the gravity of the state you were in, even as a believer, God Almighty's already forgiven you.
Amen.
Isn't that glorious?
Yes, sir.
That gives me hope.
Yeah.
Not excuse, but hope.
Amen.
What about Peter?
Yeah.
All of those times. He had just cut off a man's ear, and Jesus Christ kept him from being mauled and killed on the spot. Don't you figure?
Yeah.
Huh?
Oh, yeah.
He drew that sword and cut off over the servant of Malchus the high, or somebody. Whack!
Yeah.
Most times, that Peter would have been attacked right there and killed on the spot.
Yes, sir.
Don't you think?
Oh, yeah.
Who protected him?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ was there standing for him.
Yes, sir.
Hmm? Peter. But yet the glorious thing is, our Lord told him, he didn't tell him all the details, but he said, Peter, here's what's going to happen. You're going to deny me three times.
Yes, sir.
And I remember Don Fortner pointing this out. Since Christ told him, you will deny me three times, guess what? He would deny him three times.
Exactly.
Not one more,
yep.
But not one less.
That's right.
Well, you're making the God the author of sin. You don't get it if you think that.
You're right.
You just don't get it.
That's it.
You just don't get it. Peter denied the Lord, but one thing he couldn't do, he couldn't abandon the faith.
That's right.
Because Christ had told him even before it happened, Satan is desired to sift you as wheat, and guess what? God's going to suffer it to happen.
Yeah.
You will deny me three times. But guess what, Peter? No, not guess what. But here's what, Peter.
Yeah.
I've prayed for you that your faith fail not.
Amen.
What a glory.
Yeah.
Because I need that kind of salvation.
Yeah.
That's the kind I need, an ongoing salvation that begins of the Lord, is in the middle of the Lord, and in the end, before it's consummated, and when it's consummated, it's of the Lord. So much so that when even I get in glory, Joe, and I'm no longer depraved as I am now, I can say, even then, I'll be forced to say, it was all of God beginning to end.
Yeah.
All of it. Now somebody says, you're saying it's okay to fall. You're giving us an excuse to fall. No. But it's a fact.
Yeah.
It's inevitable. We will fall.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
It's just the way it is. There's only one believer I know of that I can say. One believer that I know of can say never fail. Do you know which one it is? No, it's not Christ. No, he never failed. There's no doubt about it. There's one believer that I know. I don't know he failed. That ever failed.
Yeah.
You know who it was? The thief on the cross.
There you go.
It wasn't but moments. What could it have been hours later after he said, Lord, he told his buddy, he had been cursing Christ to start with.
Yeah.
Something happened in that man.
Yeah.
Changed his heart and mind, did it not?
Yeah.
And he said, turned to his buddy and said, we're getting what we deserve.
Yeah.
And he looks at Christ in the scene, turning his head as best he could, Joe.
Yeah.
And even if he couldn't do that, I could hear him crying, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And our Lord said to him, this day,
yes,
this wicked man,
yeah,
this felon,
yeah,
committed a capital offense, at least in the Romans' eyes.
Yes, sir.
And they were putting him to death. He's dying.
Yeah.
And Christ said, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. And just a few hours later, they broke his legs. And guess what?
He's gone.
It's the only one I know of I can say I don't know that he ever failed, Joe.
Exactly.
Huh?
Yeah.
But you know what? He was still falling.
That's right.
Even from the time Christ told him today until then, a few hours later when they broke his legs, he was still falling.
Yeah.
And I bet you he did sin.
Oh, yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Don't you figure? Because my flesh cries out for sin.
Oh.
It feasts upon sin.
Yes, sir.
Look at the aftermath of our falling and look at God's work. This is number two. Look at it. Micah said, when I sit in darkness.
Yeah.
Now, a couple things here. One, when I sit, what is sitting? Relaxing. Ain't it?
Yeah.
Most people make sin out to be some great evil work, and so it is.
Yeah.
I'm not denying that. But even relaxing. Just relaxing. When you're relaxing in yourself. When you're relaxing in the flesh. When you're sitting where? In darkness.
Yep.
Most people think of sin. Well, but we're talking about really bad sin.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about this the other day. Yesterday, I think it was. And I don't have the exact thing. But let me tell you something. Now listen to me. In God's sight. And I know this will go out online or whatever. In God's sight. To be a rapist or a child molester is just as much corruption and a crime against God as stealing a eraser when you're in school.
Yeah, you're right.
You hear me?
Yeah.
Because sin is sin against a holy God.
Amen.
There may be degrees of sin with us.
Yeah.
But not with God.
Exactly.
The unpardonable sin is unpardonable, not because it's worse than any other sin. It's unpardonable because God has purpose not to pardon it. That's why.
Exactly. That's it.
Right?
That's it.
Everybody wants to know what the unpardonable sin is. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you something. I ain't for sure for this message, but let me tell you this. If you've committed it, you're a goner. I don't care how much you cry out and claim you believe. Because why? It is unpardonable.
Yeah.
That ought to scare the bejeebies out of you.
Yes, sir.
You know?
Yeah.
When I sit in darkness, we relax there, don't we? Mm-hmm. Our flesh just is, it's like in sin. Mm-hmm. Ain't it?
Oh, yeah.
It'll sit right in the middle of it and just soak it up.
Yep.
I'm talking to us as believers this morning.
Yes, sir.
My flesh will sit right there in the middle of sin and relax in it and feast upon it. But the glory of this passage is this. One, when I sit there, Micah, even back then, knew that there was a difference between himself then and back yonder before God did anything for him.
Yeah.
Because there was a time when we were darkness.
Exactly.
And whether we were sitting, standing, rolling, or whatever, running, walking, or whatever, we were darkness.
Yeah.
Micah says, when I fall, I sit in darkness. He's acknowledging the reality, but I sit there. But look, when I sit in darkness, what? The Lord.
Yeah.
She'll be a light. Not after I brought out of darkness.
Nope.
Is
that's
it?
Right. That's right.
When I sit in darkness,
yeah,
the Lord shall be a light unto me.
Amen.
So the light has nothing to do with Micah. The light is outside of himself.
Yes.
And the light is absolute. The Lord shall be a light unto me, even when, Joe, I sit in darkness. Secondly, we're brought to confession of what we really are.
Yes, sir.
It's not just a one-time thing. Come forward, confess you're a sinner, pray the sinner's prayer. Yeah. Now I'm all fixed up. Now I'm a saint.
Yeah.
Don't work that way, does
no.
it? We will be sinners until we awaken His likeness. We are brought to confession. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I've sinned against who?
Yeah.
Him. And I'll bear it. He didn't say I'll atone for it. He didn't say I'll make up for it. I'll bear it.
Yeah, that's it.
I am this bad.
Yeah.
I'm still this bad.
Yep.
And I will bear the indignation of the Lord. Job 9 and 20. If I justify myself, my own mouth shall condemn me.
Yeah, exactly.
If I say I am perfect, it shall also prove me perverse.
Yeah.
He goes on to say, I think it's verse 30 and 31. Don't have those quoted out here. But he says this, if I wash myself with snow water and make myself never so clean, yet God, He will cast me into a ditch. And even my own clothes will abhor me.
Exactly.
My clothes are better off than I am.
There you go.
That's what he said.
Yeah.
Laying in a ditch, my own clothes will cry out against me. You're unclean. You're filthy. You're vile. You're rotten. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Job knew this.
Yes,
and some people think Job, the case of Job was before even Moses and Israel even came along.
Yeah.
No scripture whatsoever.
Yeah. Blind.
Let me tell you something. Don't put God in a box.
Exactly.
Now, God sets standards for us.
Oh, yeah.
And He tells us, you go out and preach the gospel.
Yep.
Right?
Yes, sir.
But God did not make Himself dependent on that.
Exactly.
God pleased. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And He uses other sinners to go and tell other sinners that they are sinners. And for them to turn to Christ,
yes,
and believe Him. But let me tell you something. If God wants to go teach a person something Himself, He'll take care of it. He'll do it. God put us in a box. He ain't in no box.
Exactly.
We must stay in the box.
Yeah.
He created the box.
That's right.
And rules over the box.
Yes, sir.
And is not bound by the box.
That's right.
And there's where people say, well, so you believe that? No, I believe exactly what I just said. Nothing more, nothing less. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I've sinned against Him. Jeremiah 31. Got to read that one. You bear with me. I'll try to move a little quicker now. Jeremiah chapter 31. Listen to this. Listen to what Jeremiah says. Jeremiah's talking about someone else here, but Jeremiah 31 verses 18. I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself. That's the way every believer is when they sin.
Yeah.
When they fall. Yeah, we may try to cover it up for a while.
Yeah.
But it won't last. What? God says, I'll discover their foundation.
Yes, sir.
Doesn't he?
Yes, sir.
I've surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself thus. Thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised.
Amen.
You don't cooperate with chastisement.
Exactly.
It just falls. It just comes. Well, as long as you cooperate with God, God don't need our cooperation.
No,
and thank right. God He doesn't depend on our cooperation, because
yeah,
I'd be a goner if it was.
Yeah, that's it.
Thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised as a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke. You can see it now. We jerk and we jump and we kick and we fight. And the flesh always does.
Yes, sir.
At best, what could we do? Mortify.
Has
continually beat it down, just trying to deaden it a little bit. Right?
Yeah.
You can't get rid of the flesh, but just pound the living daylights out of it as best as God allows you. Huh? Bemoaning himself, thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised. As a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke, turn thou me, and I shall be turned.
Amen.
For thou art the Lord my God.
Amen.
Now there's a true believer. There's a true just man. There's a true righteous woman. Huh?
Yes, sir.
They know this. Look, surely after that I was turned, I repented. And that's the way it always works. And that's the way it must work. And that's the way it will work. Surely after I was turned, I repented. And after that I was instructed, I smote upon my thigh. I was ashamed. Yea, even confounded. Because I did bear the reproach of my youth. You see that? Ephraim is beginning to quit trying to hide it.
Yeah.
He's acknowledging it.
Exactly.
And this is not someone who wasn't loved of God and all of a sudden God loves them. This was Ephraim.
Yeah.
And it was actually the tribe of Ephraim he's actually speaking of as a whole here. These were God's people. These were God's people. Look, all of this is true. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. I will bear the indignation of my sin because the Lord's indignation because I've sinned against Him until.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God there's at least an until.
Yeah.
Because if my mind always stayed there, it would be a miserable state to live in, would it not?
Right.
Until what? He plead my cause. That's Amen. Intercession.
Amen.
Look at Jeremiah. You're still in Jeremiah, ain't you? Look at the next verse. Verse 20, is Ephraim my dear son? Rhetorical. Is he a pleasant child? Rhetorical. No. For since I spake, what? Against him. See, most people, this is going to be a contradiction to most people. Why? Because their gospel is a contradiction to God.
Exactly.
Their message is Ephraim my dear son? Is he a pleasant child? For since I spake against him, I do earnestly remember him still. Oh, thank God.
Amen.
Therefore, my bowels are troubled for him. I will surely have mercy upon him, saith the Lord. I am an Ephraim.
Yes, sir.
And my only hope is that I'm an Ephraim.
Amen.
You see both sides of that? I am an Ephraim. Kicking, jerking. But my only hope is that I'm an Ephraim,
Amen.
Loved of God, and he's pleading my calls Amen. To himself. Now, most people think of Christ interceding for us as him trying to convince the Father that somehow it's okay.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. No, what did he say to Peter? Here it is. Here's intercession. I've prayed for you, Peter, that your faith fail not.
Amen.
There's intercession.
Yes, sir.
There's intercession. Intercession before we're saved. Intercession when even before we fall.
Yeah.
Peter hadn't even fallen yet. Christ said, I've already prayed for you.
Amen.
Isn't that a glory?
Yes, sir.
But then John comes along in 1 John 2. He says, I write unto you that you sin not.
Mm-hmm.
This is not license. This is not excuse. I write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, if he sin, we have an advocate. Not if you confess. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And then we confess because he is interceding.
Amen.
Until he plead my cause and what? He executes judgment for me. Now, don't get confused here. We don't look at it the same way Micah does. Micah was looking forward. God has executed judgment for me.
Amen.
It's done. The great transaction is done. Christ was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Why? Few verses before, because God was, past tense, was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Yes, we will reap what we sow. We will reap what we sow.
Yes, sir.
But as Mason has mentioned, one old preacher, one of the things, old Primitive Baptist, wasn't it, Mason Midman, said this, you don't sow in one field and reap in another. We reap what we sow in this life. But in Christ, we stand before God without blame and holy. And we will appear in his presence that same way.
Amen.
We're not going to, you don't sow in this field and then reap in eternity in that field.
Right.
Let me tell you something. If you sow in this field and God's not already executed judgment for you at Calvary, then you will be judged according to your works.
Yes, sir.
And no man really wants that.
Exactly.
Until he execute judgment, how? For me. That's substitution. And that's done now.
Amen.
That's done now.
Amen.
And then he says what? He brings me forth to the light. You see it? Now, when I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. But what's he also do? Then he brings me forth to it.
Amen.
You see that? Yeah. Now, that's the difference.
Yes, sir.
Though the righteous fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. But what do the wicked do when they fall? They fall into mischief.
Yes, sir.
You know what he said? They fall and they stay there.
Exactly.
They fall and they stay there. The result of this ongoing work, I shall arise. I shall behold my righteousness. Is that what he says? Is that what Micah said? No, I shall behold his righteousness.
Amen.
And what is that righteousness? Wrong question. Who is that righteousness?
Amen.
It is a person.
Amen.
Jesus Christ, who is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. A summary. Summary questions. For me, a question that I should ask myself. These same questions are to you, but not my question to you, but for questions you answer for yourself. Because I can't truly answer for you. I can't see your heart. I don't know for sure. Now, Bruce talked about a lady who was a deacon's wife for years and professed for years. And just recently, God saved her. Isn't that a glory?
Yes, sir.
Because you could think you're saved for years, make your profession, believe in free sovereign grace, limited atonement too.
Oh, yeah.
And still be just as lost as the last fella.
You're right.
Just as Earl used to say, just as dead as last year's Christmas tree. And that's pretty dead.
Exactly.
Because even the living ones are nothing but a bunch of death. Anyway, I ain't going to preach against Christmas, but Here's the question for me and for you to ask ourselves. Who saved me?
Amen.
Who saved me?
Amen.
Who is saving me?
Amen.
Who shall save me?
Yes.
That's the question. Now a real, and all of these, what do you call them, adjectives? All these real, sincere, genuine, the real, sincere, genuine answers kind of manifests where we really are or not. But here is the only real answer to that question. Now look at what Paul said. You know the passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Now I'll end with this. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. That's where God brings us. Why? So we don't... What? Look! But we had the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves.
Amen.
That's why God's left the flesh here.
Yeah.
He could have took it away, Mason.
Yeah.
Couldn't he?
Yeah.
He could have took it away. Why was he pleased not to? So that we in this life constantly look outside of ourselves and refuse. I cannot, I must not trust in myself.
Exactly.
That we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us, past tense, from so great a death, and doth deliver. That's the same word translated save.
Yeah, exactly.
Who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us.
Amen.
I am just as much in absolute need of Jesus Christ today as I was 29, 30 years ago.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Just as much absolute need of him then as I am right now today. And let me tell you something. Even when I awaken in his likeness, I shall be still in absolute need of him.
Exactly.
Because the only thing I'll have in glory is what God Almighty gives me in that day.
Amen.
Isn't it? In other words, he really gets all the praise.
Yes, sir.
That's what Tulip is actually teaching. I know it's a man-contrived form, but it's not man-contrived doctrine, and you can mark that down. It's God's doctrine. Why? Because it gives God all the real glory.
Yes, sir.
It doesn't pretend glory to God.
Exactly.
Well, God, mean you got me saved, but I'll give you credit because you say I'm supposed to. Such nonsense.
Exactly.
God gets all the credit because God does all the work.
Amen.
And that's just the way it is. Father, be with us. Be with Jay. Be with others, Lord. Others in need, difficult times and problems. The enemy assaulting from every direction, but also the enemy rising up from within ourselves, in our own selves, in our own wicked, evil flesh. Help us through Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.